Blog Talk Radio. Glory to God. Give praise to the King. Hallelujah. Praise Jesus. Hallelujah. Yeah. Come on, put your hands together. Let's bless the Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you.
Jacksonville, Florida. We would like you to know that God is still on the move. We want you to know that God is still doing great. He's still doing mighty things. He is the Alpha and Omega. He is the beginning and he is the end. He is the first and he is the last. Certainly he is the truth and he is the living God. I want you to know today that he has all power in his hand. He is able to do exceedingly, abundantly above all that we ask or think. What is it that you need today? What is it that you need God to do for you today? Are you having a problem with oppression or depression? Are you having infirmities or sickness in your body? I want you to know today that God, he is able to move on your behalf. I want you to know he is that creator, the creator of heaven and earth. And even as he created heaven and earth, and I want you to know he is able to move whatever in whatever problem that you may have. But he specializes. He doesn't practice, but he specializes in every area of your life. A counselor is good. The doctors are great. But yet God, he is great. He is greater. So if you need help today, I am going to ask you to know that your help coming from the Lord who has made the heaven and the earth. So the word of God say, I will lift up my eyes unto the hill where cometh my help. My help cometh from the Lord who has made the heaven and who has made the earth. Yes, you still have time. You still have time to call a friend, call a neighbor, call somebody and tell them that the breakthrough broadcast is on the air. And if they need God, and everyone does, call, turn on that computer, turn on, go to the Blog Talk Radio and hear from God. Let God speak unto your heart. Let God speak unto your soul. Let God speak unto your spirit. You need God, and God is your answer for today. There is none better. There is none that can help you but God. And God alone. Again, I would like you to know that you are listening to the Breakthrough Broadcast. I'm your host, Dr. Mary Smith McCoy, and we'll hear that you can hear from the Lord. We want you to know today that on Breakthrough Broadcast, you're getting ready to hear some magnificent, some awesome revelation and word from the Lord that you can be restored, that you can be built up, that you can be made free. We want you to know today that we're going to be talking about God chooses a king. God chooses a king. And that king at this time was the King David. And our study text today will come from 1 Samuel, the 16th chapter, 1st through the 13th verse, and also the 17th chapter, 33rd through the 58th verse, and 2 Samuel, the 1st chapter, 1st through the 7th verse. Again, 2 Samuel, the 2nd chapter, the 1st through the 7th verse, and the 7th chapter, 8 through the 16th verse. The central truth is God selects leaders based on the condition of their heart. I believe that I need to read that again. God selects leaders based on the condition of their heart. The key verse today in the King James Version would be, the Lord seeth not as man seeth, for man looketh on the outward appearance, but God looketh upon the heart. Man looks on the outward appearance, but God, he looks upon the heart. And that is what we need to go to know today, that God is looking at our heart. In the NIV version, it reads, the Lord does not look at the things man looks at. Man looks at the outward appearance, but the Lord looks at the heart. And I want you to know today that God certainly, and thank God that he looks at our heart. God knows the very heartbeat. He knows the reality and the purity of our heart. So we thank God that he can look upon our heart. Our first subtopic today would be plan anointed a king. The second would be the provision, power of God's name. And the third one will be purpose, establish a kingdom. We would like to take this opportunity to welcome our breakthrough panelists today. And we're so happy to have them today here on our broadcast. And they are as following. We would like to welcome Ms. Helen Watson, Evangelist Jardine Spencer, Pastor Francina Shanks, Pastor Carlos Lampkin, and Pastor Andre Spencer. We would like to welcome all of them today on the Breakthrough broadcast. And we're getting ready to go to our first topic. And our first topic is plan, anointed a king. And we would like to go to Pastor Andre Spencer, who's going to be talking about anointed a king. And we just thank God for God moving, for God showing himself strong, for God doing great, and for God doing mighty things. That would come from 1 Samuel 16 chapter, 1st through the 6th verse. And when we look at this particular scripture, we see the move of God. We already see what God says, that he was going to anoint a king. We know that when we began to read in the word of God, we find that Saul was the first king of Israel. The people at that time was not thankful and grateful for the God that is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that they can ask or think. But they wanted a king with the flesh and blood. They wanted somebody that they were able to see. They was not happy with what God provisioned for their life. But then God, he was going to move on their behalf. He was going to give them the desire of their heart. They had, in other words, they were rejected. They had rejected God. They had rejected God, but they wanted someone that they could look at, someone that they could talk to, someone that they could see. You know how it is today in today's society. You know how it is that sometimes man is not really satisfied with God. They want to go to the arm of flesh. You know how it is sometimes when God is not enough in that person's life, and they turn to someone else instead of turning to God, turn to the neighbor, turn to the friend, to that co-worker. You know how it is. But the people at this time, they thought that they would turn to, they wanted to turn to a fleshly person. But when we began to read in the word, God let us know the person that God had chosen for them. And the king that God had chosen for them was King Saul. But King Saul was a disobedient king. He did not have the heart of God. He did not follow the protocol. He did not follow the word of God. He did not take heed to God's word. When God told, given him instructions, he took what God had given him, the instruction that God had given, turned him around, and he used it for his own purpose. And then he began to blame the people for what he had done. But when he continually to do what he did, then God decided that he was going to no longer have Saul to be king. And he decided that he was going to call and sent the prophet Samuel to anoint David. And you're going to find that David was a man after God's own heart. But God had sent him. God had sent Samuel to go to the house of Jesse to anoint the next king. He didn't really want to go because he was very fearful, because he thought that Saul was going to kill him. See, Saul was wicked. God was dealing with him, and yet his heart was hardened, and he was his heart was not turned towards him. And Saul would have loved to have done anything because of the fact that he did not have the anointing upon his life. And really, Samuel did not want to go to Jesse's house because he thought that if I go there, that Saul was going to kill him. But God had the strategy. God told him what to do, how to do it, and he told him to go and to anoint the next king. When he did get to Jesse's house, Jesse had several sons. And Jesse, when he went to anoint to see which one it is, he had to listen to God. He couldn't just go and put the oil on anyone and anoint just any of those sons. But Jesse, he presented all his sons before Samuel. But God told him, no, this is not the one. This is not, do you have another son? Do you have another son? And yes, he did. He had another son. That son was out caring for the sheep. He was out there with the sheep. And yet, when the prophet Samuel told him to go get him, we're not going to even sit down until you bring him to him, and that he would do what God had called him to do. See, it's very important for us to do what God has instructed us to do. Sometimes we do the opposite. Sometimes we say the things that God called us not to say. Sometimes we go in the wrong direction. Sometimes we do the things that seem good in our own eyes, and this is essentially what Saul did. But Samuel knew the heart of God. He knew what God wanted him to do. So therefore, he did exactly. He wasn't going to sit down. He wasn't going to eat. He wasn't going to do anything else until the anointed, that next king, which was David. And I thank God that God seen David's heart. He didn't look at him and did not anoint him because he was tall, because he was handsome, because he looked like he was going to be a king. He knew the heart of God. So therefore, Samuel was able to anoint him. And we just thank God for that 16th chapter, the first through that sixth verse. And we're going to get ready to go to the next panelist, which is Pastor Francina Shanks, and she's going to talk to us and speak to us this afternoon from that 7 to the 13th verse of 1 Samuel. Welcome, Pastor Shanks, to the Breakthrough Broadcast.
Praise the Lord. To God be the glory for the great things he has done.
Amen.
Thank you. To God be the glory. Thank you, Jesus.
Yes.
Thank you, Lord. You said from what chapter? Chapter 17, verse 1? I didn't hear you, Dr. McCoy. You said chapter 17.
Pastor Shanks is going to be speaking from 1 Samuel. The 16th chapter, she's going to take the 7th through the 13th verse.
The 7th through the 13th verse. Okay, praise the Lord. At this time, I'm going to be speaking on how the Lord has sent Samuel to go and to Jesse, to the house of Jesse, the Benjamite, to choose a new king. But the Lord said unto Samuel, go to Jesse's house. And Samuel went, and he took some animals to sacrifice. He took a heifer and to sacrifice unto the Lord. And the people asked him, was he coming peaceably? And he said, yes, I'm come to sacrifice unto the Lord. Sanctify yourself and come with me to the sacrifice. And he sanctified Jesse and all his sons and called them to the sacrifice. And it came to pass when they were come that he looked on Eliab and said, surely the Lord's anointed is before him. But the Lord said unto Samuel, look not on his countenance or on the height of his stature, because I have refused him. For the Lord sees not as man sees, for man looks on the outward appearance, but the Lord looks on the heart. Then Jesse called Abinadab and made him pass before Samuel. And he said, neither had the Lord chosen this one. Then Jesse made Shammah to pass by. And he said, neither had the Lord chosen this one. Verse 10, again Jesse made 7 of his sons to pass before Samuel, and Samuel said unto Jesse, the Lord has not chosen these. And Samuel said unto Jesse, are here all thy children? And he said, there remains yet the youngest, and behold, he keeps the sheep. And Samuel said unto Jesse, send and fetch him, for we will not sit down till he comes hither. Verse 12, and he sent and brought him in. Now, David, he was ready. That word ready means he was red and fair, healthy. I mean, he had fair skin and with all of a beautiful countenance. And he was goodly to look to. That means he was nice looking, you know, handsome. And the Lord said, arise, anoint him, for this is he. Then Samuel took the horn of oil and anointed him in the midst of his brethren, and the Spirit of the Lord came upon David from that day forward. So Samuel rose up and went to Ramah. Praise the Lord. Well, see, God already knew David was the one when he sent Samuel there. He chose David because he knew David's heart, and David was a man after his own heart. That's what he had said. And like the Lord says to Samuel, he does not look on man like we do. Sometimes we look at people and judge them by their outer appearance. Well, you know, God does not do that, just like he did choosing a new king for Israel. He chose David because David was a man after his own heart. David was a humble man at the time. He loved the Lord, and God saw that. So he chose David to be the new king over Israel, because he had rejected Saul because of Saul's disobedience. And so like King David, as God looked at his heart, we got to know that God looks at our heart. no matter what we've done, God knows who you are. You can't hide anything from the Lord because he looks at the heart and not at the outward appearance. Sometimes people look at you and judge you because you might look good. That don't mean anything to God. He looks at the heart. People might judge you, or she's too big, or she don't have long hair. He isn't handsome enough. But see, the Lord does not look at man the way we do. He looks at the heart, just like he did in choosing a new king over Israel. So he chose David. He chose David because it had already been set down, and God had already orchestrated the whole thing for David to be chosen to choose Jesse. A son out of Jesse chose Jesse's line, and David, King David, was the spiritual seed for Jesus to come down through, the Messiah. So God already had this plan of operation in order. God has an order, and so he already had this in place and in order. So I just want to encourage you out there today, you men and women of God that know the Lord. God knows your heart. He knows if you love him. He knows what's in your heart. He knows if you're going to be faithful. You might fail God at some time, but get up, repent, and keep going. Thanks be to God, he does not look at the outward appearance. He looks at our heart. And I want to say to the people that don't know God, God loves you. He gave his life for you. For God so loved the world that he gave his only son, that whosoever believes in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. And so like King David, who was a tender of sheep, he was the eighth son of Jesse. God looked at seven sons of Jesse, and he told Samuel, that's not the one, that's not the one. And David was the youngest son, he was the eighth son. And eight in the Hebrew language means new beginnings. And so I just want to say to the men and women of God, be encouraged. Keep going forward. If God be for you, who can be against you? He that spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? Who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? So be encouraged today, and know that if God be for you, who can be against you? And so I'm turning it back over to Dr. McCoy.
Thank you so much, Pastor Shanks, for sharing with us with such an important topic, plan, anointed a king, and everything that God has already been orchestrated. You know, everything in our lives, from the time that we were born, from the time that we were conceived in our mother's womb, everything had been a plan that God had planned for our lives. And sometimes, I would like to just say that sometimes things, when you look at certain things in your life and you may think, just like David, he was back there feeding those sheep and he was very contented in feeding those sheep. It didn't bother him because he was doing what he did. Sometimes things may bother you because you're doing, it seems like, things that is not getting you to the top. It's not getting you into that place where you want to be. But David, he had a love for those sheep. And when I began to think about David, I'm thinking God was preparing him. Those sheep was not people, but those sheep was something that he could care for. He could nurture them. He could protect them. And even as he protected those sheep, the same way that he could protect the people of God. You know, even when the lion try to come against the sheep and the bear try to come against the sheep, yet God was training him. Sometimes we're in a situation with God, what is going on here? But yet he was this man of God. I just believe that he was contented, and no matter what, how the other brothers stood out, It didn't matter how somebody else stood out. And and you may look at this person or that person, and you may say, oh, this person is going to the top. Oh, this person is doing this. This person is making their way up. And you may look at yourself that I'm back in the man of God. He had a plan for the anointed one. He had the plan because he seen David hard. David, was not a man at that time of pride. He wasn't that man that did not have love in his heart, but he had love for those sheep because he cared. If he didn't love them, he would not have tried to protect him. And so as I said, when he was even in his mother's womb, God knew what he was going to use King David for. And he knew what he was going to use the prophet Samuel for. Don't you remember when when Hannah had carried Samuel, how God had put, it was a long time, but God had taken Hannah through a long, long duration in her time when she could not even bear, because she could not bring forth, and yet there was a time that she was able to bring forth, and God, and she was able at that time to give back to God what God had given to her. And he used this same prophet to go to anoint the king, David, to be king. He had already, God had already had Saul there, but Saul was wicked. Saul was disobedient. Saul did not measure up to the standards, to being that king, that after God's own heart. But I thank God, when I think about what God has given today and what we're talking about today, I thank God because God has your life already orchestrated, already planned, even when you think that you're not moving. And then you may be moving like a turtle. It seems like a turtle. But yet God has your life already orchestrated, and that's what he had for David. And he was able to use David. Samuel was able to anoint him as God has instructed him to do so. So we thank God when we can look at the plan of God, how God's plan was manifested through Samuel and through David. And he was the anointed one. He was the one that God wanted to know. Not his brothers, not the tall and the handsome and the good-looking one. And it's nothing wrong with being good-looking, because David was, as Pastor Shank said, he was also good to look upon. But God was looking on his heart. God was looking at David's heart. So we just rejoice at what we can see and what we're discussing today, at God looking at the man's heart and God anointing that person, or God sending forth that person to do his will. So at this time, we're getting ready to continually to be blessed, because God is doing great and God is doing mighty things, and we thank God, and we'd like to take this opportunity to welcome to the Breakthrough Broadcast Evangelist Jerzine Spencer, and she's just going to talk to us today about provision. All of us like provision, but we want God's provision, and she's going to talk about the power of God's name. Come on, just think about it. And we're excited, and we're getting ready to receive from Evangelist Jerzine Spencer, who would like to welcome her to the Breakthrough Broadcast.
Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Amen. Dr. McCoy and the panelists, amen. And I'm going to be speaking on the provision, power of God's name. And I'm going to be coming from 1 Samuel 17, verses 33 through 52. And Saul said to David, I'm going to be reading from the King James Version. And Saul said to David, thou art not able to go against this Philistine to fight with him, for thou art both but a youth, and he a man of war from his youth. And David said to Saul, thy servant kept his father's sheep, and there came a lion and a bear, and took a lamb out of the flock. And I went out after him, and smote him, and delivered it out of his mouth. And when he arose against me, I caught him by his beard, and smote him, and slew him. Verse 36, thy servant slew both the lion and the bear, and this uncircumcised Philistine shall be as one of them, seeing he hath defied the armies of the living God. David said, moreover, the Lord that delivered me out of the paw of the lion and out of the paw of the bear, he will deliver me out of the hand of this Philistine. And Saul said unto David, go, and the Lord be with thee. And Saul armed David with his armor, and he put a helmet of brass upon his head. Also he armed him with a coat of mail. And David girded his sword upon his armor, and he assayed to go, for he had not proved it. And David said unto Saul, I cannot go with these, for I have not proved them. And David put them off him. And he took his staff in his hand and chose him 5 smooth stones out of the brook and put them in a shepherd's bag, which he had, even in a scrip, and his sling was in his hand. And he drew near to the Philistine, and the Philistine came on and drew near unto David, and the man that bare the shield went before him. And when the Philistine looked about and saw David, he disdained him, for he was but a youth and ruddy and of a fair countenance. And the Philistine said unto David, am I a dog that thou comest to me with staves? And the Philistine cursed David by his gods. And the Philistine said to David, come to me, and I will give thy flesh unto the fowls of the air and to the beasts of the field. Then said David to the Philistine, thou comest to me with a sword and with a spear and with a shield, but I come to thee in the name of the Lord of hosts, the God of the armies of Israel, whom thou hast defied. This day will the Lord deliver thee into my hand, and I will smite thee and take thine head from thee, and I will give the carcasses of the host of the Philistines this day unto the fowls of the air and to the wild beasts of the earth, that all that the earth may know that there is a God in Israel. And all this assembly shall know that the Lord saveth not with sword and spear, for the battle is the Lord's, and he will give you into our hands. And it came to pass, when the Philistine arose and came and drew nigh to meet David, that David hastened and ran toward the army to meet the Philistine. And David put his hand in his bag and took thence a stone and slung it and smote the Philistine in his forehead, that the stone sunk into his forehead, and he fell upon his face to the earth. So David prevailed over the Philistine with a sling and with a stone, and smote the Philistine and slew him. But there was no sword in the hand of David. Therefore David ran and stood upon the Philistine and took his sword and drew it out of the sheath thereof and slew him and cut off his head therewith. And when the Philistines saw that they saw their champion was dead, they fled. And the men of Israel and of Judah arose and shouted and pursued the Philistines until they come to the valley and to the gates of Ekron. And the wounded of the Philistines fell down by the way to the Shaharim, even unto Gath and unto Ekron. Praise the Lord. Amen. And here we see, hallelujah, that David, hallelujah, was given by Saul his weapons. But first David had to, in other words, speak to Saul and give, in other words, his history and his, in other words, his relationship, his experience with the Lord, and that what had happened, how, in other words, a bear and a lion had came, and with the Lord that was with him, that how he, in other words, slew both the lion and the bear. And so he right then gave, in other words, his credentials, in other words, his experience. And, you know, sometimes, you know, we have to do that. In other words, when we coming unto someone that we're not familiar with or that don't know us, that we have to give an experience. But David also knew that he had a relationship. That was the thing, the foremost thing that was important. David had a relationship with the God of Israel. He knew him, for he was back on the backside, and what God had did with him and for him. So he knew. And when he saw Goliath, and he saw this Philistine, and he saw how they was tormenting and how they were taking on and coming against the army of the Israelites and stuff, and David, you know, was like, wait a minute, you know, they're coming against, you know, the true and living God. They're coming against my God. And how that, in other words, rose up in David, that he would go forth. And after Saul, you know, pretty much interviewed him, and, you know, and then he tried to give him his armor and stuff, and David, you know, he submitted, he put it on, and he, you know, tried it on. And, you know, and sometimes, you know, we listen to someone else and how the way, you know, they use something and do something, but David said, after putting it on, he said, wait a minute, he said, this is not, in other words, going to work for me. You know, I haven't proved this. I haven't worked with these tools. So let me, in other words, go with what I know, and what I know that the Lord will do for me. So he pulled it off and picked out the 5 smooth stones and picked them up and put them in his bag and with his slingshot and everything. And I'm looking at how, you know, the Lord, you know, ministering to us, that how we, you know, no matter what circumstance or situation is coming at us, in other words, when we call on the name of the Lord because we have a relationship with him, we have to know, in other words, the right name, that characteristic of God, what to call on and what we are in need of. And here you go on and you read in verse 40, I believe it's in 45, where David said that I will come to thee in the name of the Lord of hosts. And here the Lord of hosts is Jehovah Sabaoth, which represents, in other words, an army. Represents an army. It's dealt with, that name is used in warfare and in service. And David had enough relationship and was after God's own heart to know what name to call on and what name to use. And when he called on the Lord of hosts, it was, in other words, God was able to marshal all the hosts to fulfill his purpose, to help his people. So he brought forth, when he called on the Lord of hosts, Jehovah Sabaoth, God was able to muster the armies that was needed, the angels, in other words, the heavenly bodies and whatever that was needed for his servant at that time. So, you know, and I look at it, when he picked out that slingshot and he took that smooth stone, that one stone, and he began to, I could just picture it and see, he began to just turn it around and to swing it, and to, when he let it go, how the angel strategically, you know, made sure that it went and hit in the right place to take the enemy out, And I look at how, you know, God is saying unto us that when we're in a relationship with him, and we're, amen, calling on the right name of the Lord, how God will strategically, you know, place things, tools in our hands, which can be the word of God, which can be, this tool like what David had, but to take our enemy out. And how, you know, now look at the part where once he fell down, the Philistine Goliath fell down, and once he fell down, how David went and got up on his back, got up on the back on the top of him, and the word of God said, you know, I would make your enemies your footstool. So in other words, he put the enemy up under his feet, and he had conquered. Amen, that what needed to be conquered at that time, and he even beheaded him, and he did, David did exactly what he told the Philistine that he was going to do to him, and that he would give his carcass over to the fowls of the air and to the wild beasts of the earth, and that exactly what he did and how the Lord used him. So, you know, I know that the Lord is saying to the Breakthrough broadcast today, in other words, don't get caught up on how big your circumstance or situation is, but know that the Lord thy God is with thee. And if you bring it to the Lord, God will give you strategically plans. He would give you how to strategically face that enemy, how to confront it, and not only how to confront it, but to be victorious in it, to conquer it, that it become, in other words, up under your feet, become up under your feet, and how with him we are victorious. We are victorious because there is never a battle that the Lord has not won. And David even stated that. He said that, in other words, that this battle is the Lord, and he knew that God was going to be victorious, and by using him and allowing the Lord to use him, thank you, allowing the Lord to use him, that how he was victorious for the Lord. And so the Lord is saying to the broadcast today, don't be concerned about your circumstances, situations. Don't get caught up on how it's coming at you, because here the Philistine came, and you know David made that remark. He said, "You coming to me with a sword, a spear, and a shield?" He said, "You got to come bring all that for little old me, and plus you almost five times my size." And so the Lord is saying to us today, no matter what it looks like, no matter how big it is, it shall come down. They do fall down. Giants do fall down. And it's using the right tools, you know, whether it be fasting and praying, seeking the Lord, whether it be calling on the name of the Lord, but, you know, in other words, in your relationship, using the right tools, and with the Lord, amen, we can become victorious. We are victorious. And how he will make our enemies our footstool, and he will place, in other words, our enemies up under our feet. And, you know, and I give God praise for just, amen, to be able to minister this part and to show that, you know, be encouraged. Don't get caught up on how big it looks. Don't get caught up on what is saying to you. Don't get caught up into the word battles, but know that the Lord thy God is with thee. And if the Lord whatever the Lord tells you to do, be obedient and do it. Be obedient and do it, because the Lord is victorious. The Lord will conquer it. The Lord will obtain that thing and do it, and you will be victorious if you be obedient. If you be obedient and do it the way that he tells you to do it, and know and have confidence in him that the Lord thy God is with you. Amen. Back to you, Dr. McCoy.
Thank you so much, Evangelist, for sharing with us, for giving us that insight, Evangelist Spencer, and it's so exciting as she took us and get through the Word of God and give us that revelation, and things that began to touch my heart, and even and we looking at this servant David and looking at this man of God, looking at what people look as a boy, looking at a youth, looking at somebody with not strength, not knowledge, not having know-how, not even have a purpose, because they was even kind of kidding around with him, because they didn't really believe that he was able to do what he said he was going to do, because they was looking at the outward appearance. But see, David had it on the inside. He had that relationship with God. And one of the things that I like that boldness. Did you hear the boldness? of David. You can hear the boldness of him. And when I began to look as Evangelist Spencer was speaking to us, and I looked over there in that 32nd and 33rd verse, and it says, and David said to Saul, let no man's heart fail because of him. Don't let your heart fail because of Goliath. Don't let, and not only Saul, but the Saul of the men, because they were afraid. You know, fear had entered in. They couldn't beat him. That wasn't the first time that they tried to capture or tried to kill him. It wasn't the first time, but it was just like something that was there that they tried to come against, but they were unable to do it. But God had raised him up with that strength, not that physical strength, but he raised them up, the strength in him, that courage, that faith in him to go against this giant. And he was a giant. He was a giant. He was big and tall. And he was able to not be comprehended by many of those men. But it didn't matter to David. He's telling King Saul. He said, don't let no man's heart fail because of him. He said, thy servant. I like that because he was humble. He said, thy servant. He said, thy servant will go. I will go. I will fight this Philistine. Can you just imagine? Could you imagine what he was thinking, how he felt, how that he knew what he knew? And you know what? He didn't just go, but David had a plan. Did you not hear the woman of God as she began to tell us what he did and how he did it? He began to say what he was going to do with Goliath. He wasn't just talking. You know, sometimes people just talk, but they don't do anything. But he wasn't just talking. He was trusting in God. He knew that God was going to deliver him. He knew that God was going to deliver his people, that they wouldn't have to be afraid and live in fear of Goliath as he laughed and taunted them. He didn't have to do that anymore. But he knew that even with the simplest thing that they even wasn't even thinking about, who would have thought? You know, when they would get all of their ammunition and all of their swords and they're putting on this breastplate, putting on this and that, and yet this was not the plan of God. It was just simple. It's a simple thing. If when you can hear the voice of God, sometimes it's just those simple things that's going to bring you victory in your life. So I applaud the word of God. I thank God for his revelation knowledge. As we talk and discuss and reflected on David and what he did, and how he stood before Saul. What example of greatness. Not the greatness of David, but the greatness of God. When you can look at what God did. So again, we thank Evangelist Spencer for giving us that revelation, that insight, and taking us through and reliving that era we're in, that he stood before Goliath, and he stood in boldness, and he stood in faith, believing God to move on his behalf. At this time, we're getting ready to praise God to go to our third subtopic, which is Purpose, Establish a Kingdom. And that is taken from 2 Samuel, the 7th chapter, the 8th through the 16th. We'd like to take this opportunity to welcome Miss Helen Watson to the Breakthrough Broadcast.
Thank you, Dr. McCoy. Breakthrough panelists and all the listeners, praise God. And the third subtopic is called Purpose, Establish a kingdom, and it is coming from 2 Samuel 7, chapter 8 through the 16th verse, and it reads, "Now therefore, so thou say unto my servant David, thus said the Lord of hosts, I took thee from the sheepcote, from following the sheep, to be ruler over my people, over Israel. And I was with thee whithersoever thou wentest, and have cut off all thine enemies out of thy sight, and have made thee a great name, like unto the name of the great men that are in the earth. Moreover, I will appoint a place for my people Israel, and will plant them, that they may dwell in the place of their own, and move no more. Neither shall the children of wickedness afflict them any more, as before time. And as since the time I commanded judges to be over my people Israel, and have caused thee to rest from all thine enemies. Also the Lord telleth thee that he will make thee a house. And when thy days be full, and thou shalt sleep with thy fathers, I will set up thy seed after thee, which shall proceed out of thy bowels, and I will establish his kingdom. He shall build a house for thy name, and I will establish the throne of his kingdom forever. I will be his father, and he shall be my son. If he commit iniquity, I will chasten him with the rod of men and with the stripes of the children of men. But my mercy shall not depart away from him, as I took it from Saul, whom I put away from thee, before thee. And that house and that kingdom shall be established forever before thee. That throne shall be established forever." Here we're talking about in 2 Samuel, the 7th chapter, the 8th to the 16th verse, how God has spoken through the prophet Nathan to David. And David is contemplating. God has given him rest from his enemies. He's sitting thinking, what can I do for God? I live in a house of cedar, you know, and he dwells, you know, behind a tent. And he's thinking, I'm going to build a temple. I'm going to build a temple for God. First of all, we're talking about purpose here. David is thinking about building a temple for God, so the Ark of the Covenant, he can build a house, a place for that. So God stirs up Nathan's spirit to go and tell him, no, I have not applied everything to your hand. Some things that you will do, you have done for me. I brought you from a shepherd. I brought you from watching over the sheep. I mean, David is a warrior. He's slain many men. He's a great man of war. God has given him all this. He gave him the kingdom. And here God is sending Nathan to tell him, look, you have a purpose. He's fulfilling his purpose. David's fulfilling his purpose. He's sitting in his purpose, but he wants to do something for God. But God has to go to him and tell him, like, you're not going to do, I have not applied everything to your hand. But, you know, I'm establishing your kingdom, and your seed and your descendants will be forever. God is setting David's house up to be descendants and rule forever. This is what God is telling him. But he will not build him a temple. David, eventually, we know, will have a son, and he will build me a house. So David is thinking, telling God, you know, I want to do this, I want to build this for you. But God has to send a prophet to tell him, no, this is what you should do, but this will be done by someone else. This is the purpose that God is telling him. This is going to be his purpose. So we as women and men of God should know what our purpose is for God. Sometimes we do things and it's not God's will, it's not his purpose. We have to seek his face. We have to know what our purpose is. Sometimes, even in ministry, we're working in the wrong capacity. We have to find out what God really is calling us to, what God has really called us to do in the ministry in order to be effective in his kingdom and help to build his kingdom and help to further his kingdom. We have to know what our purpose is, what he has applied to our hands. Some people are working in capacities they shouldn't. I've heard some people call themselves prophets. I heard some people, you know, even on the usher board, when they should be doing something else, they're not strategically placed where they should be. They don't know what their purpose is. And when we don't know what our purpose is, we get off track. We get way off track. And sometimes it throws God's plan for us off track. What his purpose is, it has to all balance out to be effective in his kingdom, to help build his kingdom, to do what we need to do in his kingdom. We need to know what our purpose is, what God has called us to. And David is sitting thinking, you know, I need to build him a house. My house is built. It's beautiful. I live in a house of wood. It's cedar. But, you know, he dwells behind a tent, and he's sitting there. And Nathan tells him before God speaks to him, you know, go ahead and do that if that's what you want to do, if that's what you want to do. God is with you. Yes. He didn't say that God said, oh, yeah, go ahead and do that. That's what he would have you to do. We have to listen for God's voice. We have to know what our purpose is. If he, that wasn't for him to do. His descendants, his son, which we know came later, King Solomon, will build the temple for God. He did not do it. So our purpose, David's purpose was from, he was a sheep herder, he was anointed king, and here he is. He fought all those battles, he won battles, he slayed men, he's an awesome warrior, and God has put all his enemies to rest, and he's thinking, what can I do for my God? What can I do? He's been so good to me. He's done all this for me. He's made my enemies my footstool. He saved me from Saul. He was not able to take my life, but that was God's purpose for David's life. You know, his lineage goes all the way up to Jesus Christ. So we know God established that kingdom from Abraham all the way up to Jesus Christ. And that's what we have to know as Christians. What is our purpose? We have to continue to build his kingdom. We have to continue to go out on the battlefield as David did. We have to be courageous like David was, but we still have to know our place. We still have to know our purpose. We don't want to overstep our bounds. We want to run in the lane that God put us in to run in. We have to know what it is that he wants from us and what he is commanded of us. David was going to do something that God would not have him to do because that was on down the road. He had a purpose for David. He had a purpose for David's descendants and David's children. Even though he can see on down the line, even David was a man of many mistakes. He made many mistakes. He got into plenty of trouble, some not on his own doing, some of it on his own doing. But God even knew that, and he was telling him, I'm going to still establish your descendants, your seeds on the throne. I'm going to be with them forever. I'm not going to leave them. You know, they're going to be my people. I'm going to be like Solomon. I'm going to be his father. He is going to be my son. God was telling him, this is your purpose. This is what I want you to do. But your seed, I'm going to continue to work with. I'm going to continue to deal with them. I'm going to continue to be with them because they still have to build my kingdom. And that's what we need to do this day and time. Ask God, what is our purpose? What has he applied to our hands? What are we supposed to be doing in ministry to further him, to do his will? That's what we should be seeking to do. David was a man after God's own heart. He loved the Lord, and he just wanted to please him like we all should want to please him. But we still need to know what our purpose is and what God would have us to do, not running off on our own. It was a good thing that he thought about building a place, building God a house. It was a good thing. It was a great thing. It was a loving thing, but that's not what God had applied to his hands. He would apply that to his son's hand on down the road. That was not his purpose. He was in his purpose. God has established him as king. He had done everything for David. He brought him up from a sheep herder all the way up to sit on the throne. He was king, but building him a temple was not his purpose. Our purpose, we need to know what our purpose is. If he has called us to ministry and women's ministry, if he has applied something to our hands for men, we need to know what our purpose is. We cannot be effective in the kingdom if we don't know what it is that God had purposed us to do. Everybody is born with a purpose. There is nobody that God put on this earth that is born without a purpose. Everyone that's walking this earth has a purpose. We just need to dig deep down. We need to get in the face of God. We need to seek his face. If we are not walking in our purpose, we need to get with God and see, Lord, lead me and guide me. Even ask God to bring somebody across your path. Let somebody speak into your life and to see what is your purpose. You need to seek God's face for that. Time is getting short. God is ready to return. He's coming. He's on his way. He's going to be returning soon. And I don't want to be caught with my purpose on that. I don't want to be not walking in my purpose for God this day and time. It's getting late in the evening, and we need to find out what our purpose is, get on our job, and do just that. But we need to seek God's face for that. Like David was a man of war. He loved God. He had only the best. He just wanted to please God in all ways, like we all should. But that was not his purpose to build the kingdom, to build the temple. That would be his sons. And God had to send someone. He had to send the prophet Nathan to tell him, look, you know, I mean, I've been with you through all this, and I haven't had a place to dwell. I haven't, you know, I've been moving as you've been moving. I've been moving with you. I've been there with you. So, look, don't worry about that. That's going to happen, but you will not be the one to do it. Sometimes we have to hand off the baton to somebody when God gives us, when he gives us that, okay, this is what you do. You serve your purpose. This is it. Now hand off that baton to somebody else, but know what your purpose is. If you don't know what your purpose is, then you've done a whole lot of work in vain, and you might have somebody's blessing, and you're holding it up because you're not walking in your purpose, and you're not doing what God would have you to do. So today, listening audience, let's just get before God. If you don't know your purpose, if you're not walking in that purpose, we need to get with God. We need to seek his face diligently to find out what our purpose is so we can continue to build the kingdom of God. Back to you, Dr. McCoy.
Oh, how awesome. Praise God. Knowing our purpose, knowing what the purpose, God purpose for us, you know, it's so important as Miss Watson stressed it to us. David had to know his purpose. Yes, he came from God brought him out, you know, from his youth, and he reared him even when he was there feeding those sheep, even when he had gone, called him, and God had the prophet to anoint him, and then he went forth even after that great victory he had over Goliath. But then, you know, sometimes we do things in our lives, as you said, but we need to know our purpose. God has a purpose for us. And that wasn't just a purpose that God has for David. That was one of them to fight to go against Goliath. God wanted to show himself strong. He didn't just want to show up David and that David got the victory. Oh, it was God who got the victory. And that's what we have to understand, and that what we have to look to when we look at situation in our lives, when God began to use us, when God began to show us our purpose, it's not for our glory. It is for God to be glorified. It's for God to get the praise and for God to get the honor in our lives, for God to be glorified in everything. So I just thank God that how he used this young man, and not only did he use him, And after he anointed him, and then we went, as Ms. Watts began to say, for his purpose, when we began to look at this, how even after he was anointed king, he didn't become king that next day or that next, he was going to be king, but he didn't walk in the office of it. But yet God began to let him go through some situations in his life. He was called. He was anointed in order to do this. This was his appointed time. It was his appointed for him to do these things. But he didn't, it wasn't his time. It wasn't for him to do this at this time because Saul was still on the throne. And even as David was, God allowed him to go minister to the king and to go and to be there with the king and minister, yet Saul gave him some very trying times. Saul came against God anointed. And yet Saul was God anointed, but yet, as we said before, he did not please God, and God was going to take him off the throne. He was not going to be king for much longer, but yet he became jealous, and he had envy. He had strife in his heart. And made David to be a fugitive because he was continually running from Saul. First he loved him, and then he began to look at the accolades and look at how the people praised him, how looked at what the people thought of him, and then he began to hate him. He wanted to kill him. Anybody that wants to kill you apparently wants to hate you. So he wanted to hate him because he wanted to kill him. He tried every opportunity that he could because of the fact that he seen something that was in David. But I thank God that even so, after all of this had gone through that Ms. Watson was saying, knowing our purpose. And although he did a whole lot of things for God, as Ms. Watson was discussing and telling us how he did, he wanted to build this house for God. He wanted to build this sanctuary. He had this, you know, could you not see the love that he had for God? Could you not see that the respect and even his humility towards God and what he wanted to do to the true and the living God? But everything that we want to do is not for us to do. We have to know our purpose. It wasn't for David to do it. Although he got and gathered all of the precious stones and all of these things in order to build the house of God, God let him know that it wasn't for him to do, but it was going to be for his son Solomon. And I just thank God that when we can, although there are things in our lives that we want to do and things that our heart, God has given, you know, our tender heart, when we see a need for some things, yet it may not be that perfect will of God. It may be not God's purpose. It may not be for us. It may really be for somebody else. So we in this, we have to seek the face of God, and we have to, the Bible said, in all our ways acknowledge him, and he said that he will direct our path. So when we began to look at this lesson today, we see God's provision. We see how God provided. I love when the our key verse today, it says, the Lord seeth, not as man seeth, for man looketh on the outward appearance, but the Lord looketh on the heart. And that is, we can really see God in all of this because he looks upon the heart. And the central truth, again, it says, God selects leaders based on the condition of that of their heart. And we have to ask ourselves this question: what condition is your heart in? What kind of heart do you have? David says in the 51st Psalm, he said, create in me a clean heart and renew a right spirit in me. And he knew that he needed, because David had at this time had gone through some situations in his life, but he knew that he needed God to give us that clean heart and that right spirit. We would like to, at this time, go before the throne of grace. Our Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord, we just thank you, Father, for that which you have done. We thank you, God, for giving us and giving us the opportunity and the privilege, God, to come before thee. We thank you, God, for that people today, because your people are precious in your sight, and they are the sheep of yours. Father, they have the heart of you. Many of them, Father God, want to follow you. Even those that are not saved, God, as we come today, we ask you, God, to touch their heart. Oh, God, God, give them that clean heart and that right spirit. And, Father, we ask thee in the mighty name of Jesus, Lord, look upon them, God, this day and this hour. Father God, in the name of Jesus, even, Father God, in Joshua 24 and 15, it says, choose ye this day whom ye will serve. For me and my house, we will serve the Lord. So, God, we pray now that, God, that the people heart, God, will be turned towards thee. And, God, that their eyes, God, will be upon thee. And, God, that we as your people will be aligned with your word, line by line and precept by precept. Now, God, touch every person, God, under the sound of my voice. And, Father God, you know every need. Because you said, God, you will supply all our need according to our riches in Christ Jesus. And Lord, whether it's an oppression spirit, whether it's depression, whether a person may be sick in their bodies, maybe, God, they have infirmity, or God, maybe the doctor has given them a bad report. God, whether they've been lied on, God, whether, Father God, they're in a battle, a spiritual war there even now. I pray, God, now that you will touch them, Father God, that you will give them what they need today, and God, that you will touch their heart, and God, that you will give them that peace, and God, that you will give them that joy, and God, that you will give them that contentment, Lord. And Lord, God, those that are not saved, I pray, God, even now that you will save them, and God, that will deliver them. God, you said that we confess with our mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in our heart that God has raised them from the dead. God, you said that they shall be saved. So, Father, we ask thee, God, that even those that are under the sound of my voice that are not saved, God, I believe, God, in the mighty name of Jesus, that you will save to the uttermost. And God, I ask thee even now, God, to touch the heart of the people. And Lord, God, use them, Father, for the upbuilding of thy kingdom, and Father, for tearing down of the stronghold of the enemy. God, today, God, we ask this in the mighty name of Jesus. God, show us the plan for our life. God, show us the purpose for our life, Father God. Father, we ask you, God, we thank you right now, Father, for vengeance, God, that you have given us this day. So, Lord, today we just give it all to you. And, Father God, we pray even now that you have cast every sin into the sea of forgetfulness and remember it no more. And God calls the people to become new creatures in Christ Jesus. Lord, we thank you, Father, today for every panelist that was on the panel. And those, God, in the mighty name of Jesus, that are on there consistently, those that, Father, cannot be on today. Lord, we ask thee for your continued blessing, God, be upon them, Father God, even now. And Lord, I lift them up before you. Lord, I lift up Miss Helen Watson. God, I lift up Pastor Eric Hooper. God, I lift up before you Evangelist Jardine Spencer. God, I lift up Pastor Francina Shank. Lord, I lift up to you Pastor Andre Spencer and Pastor Carlos Lampkin. Oh, God, have your way, Father, in their lives. God, touch them. God, keep giving them the revelation knowledge of your word. Lord, we just thank you, Father God, for what you have done. And, Lord, what you're going to do from this day and this hour, I give you the praise and the glory and the honor for the great and for the mighty things that you have done. And, Lord, I thank you for every soul that has been saved today, every life that has been changed, everybody that has been healed by the power of the Most High God. And for this, God, we give you praise and glory. In Jesus' name we pray, amen and amen. Thank you, Jesus, for all that you have done. Lord God, at this time, we want you to give a shout-out today, and we mentioned this on our last breakthrough broadcast, that on next Saturday, which will be the 18th of February, Ms. Yolanda Adams will be here in Jacksonville, Florida, and Pastor Sabrina Belton will be opening up one of those the artists that's going to be opening up for Ms. Yolanda Adams. And certainly we're looking forward for God to do great and mighty things. And if you would like to get a ticket to this great affair, it will be, you can call 904-768-6011. Again, that number is 768-6011. And also you can call 904-693-9996. Now, if you wait until the day of the event, the tickets at the door will be $55. I believe if you get it beforehand, you can get the tickets for $45. So we just want to let you know, please feel free to call those numbers and get you a place to be able to enjoy this great event that's coming to our city here in the beautiful city of Jacksonville, Florida. I would like to say on next Saturday on Breakthrough Broadcast, we will not be broadcasting on next Saturday because I will be attending that special event. But we do want you to tune in the following Saturday as we again come and give you revelations of what God is saying to his people. And we will invite you in. We would like to each time to invite you to invite someone else to come and to hear what God has, because he always has that fresh word, that rhema word, that fresh revelation, so that you can be blessed and that others can be blessed also. Where until then, we're getting ready to close our Breakthrough Broadcast. But we would like just to close out at this time, and we're just going to ask Pastor Eric Hooper to close us out today on our Breakthrough Broadcast, and we'd like to welcome him to the Breakthrough Broadcast. Glory to his name. Thank you, God. Father, we thank you, we praise you, we magnify your name for all that you have done, all that you're going to do. Lord, continually to look upon your people. And Lord, we thank you, Father God, for that which you have done, that which you're going to do continually in the lives of all of thy people. And this we thank you and we praise thy name. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. Well, we're looking forward to seeing you on that next appointed time. And until then, why don't you give God the praise, the glory, and the honor for the great and for the mighty things that he has done. God bless you until our next broadcast.